Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Now it's time to be riveted to your radio and be listening to Judge Wild. He's single, he's rich, and he's good looking. And what a voice he has. Listen to Judge talking with you for the next hour. Judge, you are on the air.
Welcome to the Judge Wild Show. I love that laughing. I wonder if I have that again. Let's see.
Now it's time to be riveted to your radio and be listening to Judge Wild. He's single, he's rich, and he's good looking. And what a voice he has. Listen to Judge talking with you for the next hour. Judge, you are on the air.
I really like that intro. I get some shows, they have to have a badge of a recognition, an icon, so to speak. And in radio, it's what you hear. It's obviously what you hear. And that is one we've had for years, and I like it. He's single, he's rich, he's good looking, and what a voice he has. And if I put it in any other order, it wouldn't sound as cinematic and as great as that. Nurse Flo, do you believe any of it? Single, rich, good-looking, and a voice? Do you believe any of that out of me?
Oh, sure, yeah.
What? None of it? One of it? One
maybe,
of them.
Maybe two out of, was it two out of four?
I'm going to increase the volume. Yeah. So, folks, this is kind of a slow start. The reason it's a slow start to this show, it usually comes out of the gate a lot quicker, a lot faster than this, is because I feel kind of like I'm going to preach at you a bunch about things. I feel like there's going to be some things that I get real excited about, and I'm going to be in your face. And that's really a lot of these shows. They get a slower start, and then they speed up toward the end. The last show, we were talking about saving lives at Christmas time, and the person who was saving the lives was me. It was me, and then I was encouraging you all with some techniques on how to save the lives of single people in your community and your workplace, all over, you know, wherever you're having single people and married people mixing together and developing these unrealistic expectations on single folks who may be alone through the holidays, and you won't be there. You won't have the opportunity to correct your mistake about having them believe that everywhere up and down the streets and up through the whole community that everyone is joyous and happy to see the people who came to see them, or happy to celebrate, I guess, the baby Jesus with secular gifts. And we get on the Christian case, too, because, you know, if you're going to have eternal life, and this is not a preaching show, I'm not a preacher, it's kind of a judging show. It's Judge Wild, and we will judge you, and we are unashamed about doing that because it makes your life better, so that's all a good thing. But what we do is we kind of, you know, we want the Christians to be real. We don't want any fake Christians out there thinking they're going to heaven and having them get up to the pearly gates and have God say, "So, how did you spend Christmas?" And you say, "Well, I opened presents, and I ate, and I created an extra Thanksgiving out of it. Instead of in my kids, I thought I was raising Christian kids, but instead, I guess I have them thinking about Santa Claus and not Jesus. And I kind of need someone to hold me accountable, because I had said on that show that this next year, this 2013 year, we are going to see if we can get some Jesuses. Is that plural for Jesus?
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
That's like saying cancer treatments is instead of treatment. Cancer treatments. No, cancer treatments is. And so we'd like to have Jesus at the shopping malls and anywhere we can buy, and to have the kids come up and sit on Jesus' lap and have your photos with the kids and Jesus. That is probably, and I think it's a great idea to help Christians keep focus on what the holiday is, and you can separate out the fake Christians from the real ones. And I always love the annual Christmas show. And before that, we had a couple shows about what is wrong with Wichita, Kansas. You know, we cover things and we get in people. We name names. You know, if you wanted to call in, write to me, and I could name your name when I. find out something about your terrible life that you think you have it all wonderful, and you want to call and say, you know, Judge Wild, I'm going to judge you, and I'm going to do this, and I can handle it, and I can take it, and I can think about what you have to say, because this show is about thinking. The problem is when I tell you people out there how you're messing up, you can't stop to think about it. Think about your low self-esteem or your denial or your bad parenting. And so this was the Christmas shows and the What's Wrong with Wichita shows were about people that we really care to have them be better, have them have a better life, have them think about what they are doing. I have always been able to engage in conversations with other thinkers, other analytical thinkers, and listen to what they have to say and disagree with what they have to say, but really enjoy chatting with them and feeling a bond with them and the fact that we are fellow thinkers. And I don't know, Nurse Flo, why you're on the show. Are you a thinker, Nurse Flo?
Oh, I try to be.
You know, Nurse Flo often says, you know, she doesn't stick her neck out. I say things on the show when I start up a topic, and I say something that sounds a little outrageous, and she doesn't say she disagrees. She just sits there all quiet, and she listens because she has learned, and she has said on air in the past that I had never thought about it that way, Judge Wild. I had never thought about thinking about it that way. You know, it makes sense in how you are saying it, Judge Wild. And that's the deal. But the problem is I'd love to have her stick her foot in her mouth at the very beginning and say, oh, come on, there's no way you're going to be able to support that idea. There's no way that concept could work in real life. There's no way. But, you know, she doesn't because she's learned her lesson. And all of those out there who are judging me based on shows and you still don't get it yet, that's the essence of the Judge Wild show. That's where we come up with something that you didn't think about in a way that you didn't think about it. And it affects your life if you take it to heart and you move it forward in your life. And, you know, you can sit in a church and you can put your money in a offering plate. You can listen to the pastors on TV and on radio. You don't have to put any money into this. All you have to do is share this show with your friends. If you want to have a less stressful life, chances are the stress you have now are because of the friends you have picked. And if you care enough about those friends, you've listened to Judge Wild, and you've figured out some wonderful techniques for your life from Judge Wild on how to make your life less stressful, how the expectations of so-called do-gooders are really putting stress on you, and you can do better than the good do-gooders because of things you've listened to here, you just need to share it with others and have a better life, and that's all the payment I need. I have other jobs. I have plenty of money. He's single, he's rich, and he's good-looking. If at least you don't agree with the good-looking, trust me on the others. I'm very single. Yeah. Okay, Nurse. was I shedding
well,
a tear?
Voice.
Was I shedding a tear for myself that I was single? Oh, my. Oh. You know, I just was watching TV before the show tonight, and it was a Bachelor's Abroad, which I guess it's a double meaning for the abroad because it was they pay $4,000 to go over to the Ukraine on a tour. It's like any other tour and vacation package, except that some people go along and they help you set up dates with Russian women.
Huh.
And so I thought, $4,000, you know, I'm rich. Maybe I ought to take 3 or 4 trips over there or something, you know, And, of course, they showed all these beautiful, beautiful ladies. Now, their faces were a little bit different than an American face, but they were pretty. They were pretty faces. They were slender ladies. They would wear clothes that accented their body. And it was just, you know, really looked enticing. For a documentary, it looked like an advertisement, but I have a good sniffer for that. And I don't think it was an advertisement. It was not an infomercial. Boy, I'm rambling, but let's move on. Do you have anything to say, Nurse Flo? How wonderful I am. Things have made you smarter. The one thing I got to tell you folks out there is I only have intelligent women on the show. Number one, I like to have them be women because I like their voices. And I think you like their voices. And, yeah, there you go, Nurse Flo. And their giggles. Their giggles are priceless. When an intelligent woman like Nurse Flo giggles, you know you have a complete, well-rounded lady that you're engaged with there in the conversation.
Okay.
She is both feeling and intellectual, and so I love that mixture on the show. The thing is, Nurse Flo, you are here not to be emotional. You are here to maybe talk about the emotional side or the nurturing side. If you have a thought about it and you want to share it, that's great. That's wonderful. You could bring that. Or, you know, you could just do what you usually do and go, wow, I'm much smarter now because Judge Wild just told me the ins and outs of this topic. So what do you have to say about that? Am I mischaracterizing you?
No. I mean, I try and jump in if, you know, I have an intelligent comment to make, but a lot of the times I am quiet because, you know, like you say, I think you try to encourage people to look at things just not on the surface, to dig a little bit deeper and look at them a little bit different way.
So you're not quiet because I'm bullying you around. You're not quiet because I'm demeaning you. You're not quiet because I've yelled at you off the air to, you know, just shut up and let the host, smart host, talk. I haven't done any of, I'm saying I haven't done any of that, have I?
No.
Okay. Oh, giggles. This is what it sounds like sometimes.
Not always. Yeah.
I like that giggle at the end by Master Mary.
Not always. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, we're going to, you know, Nurse Flo, we talked about it last show, just prior to us getting into the Christmas singles and marriage and Christians and all that, how that surrounds Christmas. And we talked about legalizing marijuana, and that's what I have to say, folks. You have not legalized marijuana. No state in the union has legalized the United States of America. No state has legalized, zero states, none, no Colorado, no Washington State, no nothing. Nobody has legalized marijuana. I don't care, threshold, any amount. They haven't legalized even a half a pinchful, like salt. They haven't legalized any of it. Is that news to anybody out there? Is there a lot of idiots out there? What did I say in last show, Nurse Flo, about why this hasn't been legalized yet? Or how is it that's the case that it's not legalized yet?
Well, because you can't go outside those borders of those particular states with that particular substance because you'd get arrested.
Wrong.
Wow.
Cough it up.
Remember, like
if you have sex with your 11-year-old daughter in your own house because you made a rule that it's okay to have sex in your own house with your 11-year-old daughter, it's still not okay.
Right, it's still a felony.
It's still a problem. It's still a felony. It could still be against your city trash laws. It could be against your state laws for some reason. It could be against your whatever. Your property is within the boundaries of another jurisdiction as well. It's not just what you say that goes on in your house. There are laws of the state that have a coverage for what goes on inside your house, and that's the same way with the United States government having your state borders within the United States of America's borders. It is not legal in your state to do what the state says is legal if it's against federal law. It's not legal. Now, the media folks talk about the legalization. It's legal in Washington and Colorado. You know, when you're trying to talk to the masses and you have a responsibility as a media person, someone, journalist, the TV media person, you have a responsibility to talk to the stupid masses and even some intelligent folks who just don't sit down and think enough. There are intelligent people out there. When I talk about people being intelligent, I talk about as they're intelligent because they sit and think about things. Not that they're intelligent and then they just go along with whatever anybody else says, how Christmas should be, how Mother's Day should be, how, you know, school should be out because somebody else said it was supposed to be this way. You're supposed to be married by the time you're 25 and have your kids by the time you're 26, 7, so that your parents have grandparents or grandparents because they have your kids. And, you know, thinkers are thinkers. Intelligent people are ones who sit and think about this stuff. And the media folks, we look up to them as intelligent. They're telling us information. Information shouldn't be incorrect. It shouldn't be slightly right and slightly wrong. It should be correct completely and at a higher standard than when those media people go off the air, go home, and you know, chat with their friends on the phone and this and that. When you get on the air, you have to be correct, and correctness means that it is not legal in the state of Washington or in the state of Colorado to have that marijuana. It's illegal in the United States, everywhere within the United States, except for the Indian reservations, but then there, you know, that's a whole other boundary issue. I really enjoyed some American Indian music the other day. I was at a park along a big body of water, and I was sitting there in a big van, an old van, was in the parking lot not too far away, and it was doing the boom, 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 just for 20 minutes, that thing, and I think it was, you know, just like any other hip-hop person with a CD in the CD player and the big stuff, and, you know, rock and roll, it was their music, and they were listening to it at the park, and it was loud, and it was very soothing. I sat there on purpose to listen to it. I don't get to hear that every day. So, you know, from sea to shining sea, there's that American Indian music. I really, really enjoyed it. There's not much else to say. You don't legalize marijuana state by state. You legalize it by the United States of America, and it is illegal in every single state of the Union. And anything that's illegal, federal or state, is that they say is illegal and you're doing it in your home, it's still illegal. Guns in the Constitution, I mean, finally, after what, two weeks or 3 weeks, something like that, they're finally getting around. The media is finally letting the people talk about the reason that we have guns, that the forefathers said that we have guns as a right, and that those guns need to be of a power and a strength to fight the government. And let's, you know, go back to that show so that you know that I'm not trying to overthrow the government with these statements. Go listen to all my disclaimers in the previous show. Go on Facebook, Judge Wild, W-Y-L-D, friend of Judge Wild on Facebook. Go back to Blog Talk Radio, blog, B-L-O-G, talk, T-A-L-K, radio, spell radio correctly, look it up, spell check, .com. / Judge Wild, and Wild is with a Y, W-Y-L-D, no E at the end, please, no E at the end, you might not get me. So go look at Blog Talk Radio, listen to the old shows, there's a lot there for your kids, for you, and just it tells you that we don't want to overthrow the government, but we know it isn't about hunting. We know that guns, assault rifles, whatever, need to be of sufficient power in sufficient quantities to overthrow our own government. The forefathers didn't say we're a perfect government, and so nowhere at any time inside the United States in the future would they ever want to fight the government because, look, we're okay. No, they had the foresight to not only know that the British were kind of a pain in the butt, but maybe our own government here might become a pain in the butt like the British government was, and that they were thinking ahead to the future, and so they made sure that it was there as a right and to have these guns to be able to fight our own government if we had to, only if we had to. I'm not saying we do right now. Listen to the rest of the show, and then go out and be careful. Don't overthrow our government. I want to live and die without any of that going on. And I'm pretty old, so, you know. You notice it doesn't say he's single, he's rich, and he's good-looking, and he's young, and what a voice he has. No. You don't throw young in there. Oh, the unions and their thuggery. That problem's easily solved. You talked about it on the earlier show, the same benefit. If you don't give the same benefits to non-union workers, people who choose not to be in the union, and don't give them the same benefits. They're not paying union dues, don't give them the same benefits. So what if they work alongside the union people and they get paid less? It was their choice not to belong to the union. Don't give them the union benefits that the union fought for. Let the company decide what benefits they have, so you don't have to force them to be in a union and call them freeloaders. If they're not freeloading, if they're not getting the benefits the union fought for, and they're only getting the benefits that the company says that they have to give the people to keep the workforce. You know, the market of the workforce, where you could go work somewhere else, you could work for that company. You know, and if it's close to what the union's getting, fine. If it's not, guess what? Those people might join the union. This is all fair, folks. This is not twisting people's arms and thuggery and all this stuff. This makes sense. Shouldn't be because somebody voted for a union, everybody has to join into the union. No. I mean, that's just common sense. You know, that you want to be a blue-collar thug, and this is the only way you can live out your dream to be in a thug? So you can have like 10,000 other thugs by your side as you're a coward with a knife cutting some defenseless people's tent. That's what you want to be? Yeah, that's what you don't deserve to have people want to join your organization if you're going to be that. And don't tell me it was a handful. We cover this too. If there's 10,000 people there, don't tell me you can't control five people. If we're to believe you that it was only five people that were the bad people. I mean, how many family reunions, Nurse Flo, out there? Boy, I'm brilliant. In the moment, I'm brilliant. I just throw this stuff out there. In how many family reunions have that one drunken person starting to cause trouble, and they don't just say, well, it was only one? You know, no, they get four or five of the guys over there, and they sit the guy down, and they sober him up with a slap in the face or escort off the property or whatever. Mm-hmm. 10,000 yep. Union folks couldn't take five thugs and escort them out instead of just standing around watching them be stupid and thug and throw punches and whatever. Oh, idiots. Okay, Nurse Lowe, your turn.
I never thought of it that way before, Judge Wild.
Hey, what a voice you have.
What a voice he has. Gay marriage is not about marriage if we don't give married people biased rights. If married people have so many more rights, then why aren't single people getting all upset? That's because single people are outnumbered. Same way with the school system. Single people are having their taxes go to the schools, and the parents are the ones who are deciding how to spend it. We're outnumbered. Single people don't get a choice on how to spend the school board money, the money that we're putting in taxes from our homes that are right alongside of your homes, and we're paying that in, and we're outnumbered. We can't vote in singles because you married people are going to vote in married people to shell out all that money to your kids in the form of swimming pools and such like that. Same way with gay marriage. You know, we can't vote out. The single people can't vote out all these stupid laws and rules that say married people have special benefits in this country. If this is civil rights down to an individual person, why do we have married people having better rights than we have singles? That's why the gays want the marriage. They are trying to get the same benefits that you give the heterosexual marriages. Cut it out, United States of America. We've come a long way, and we've conquered the West. We've populated the planet, and we, you know, marriage is not such a big virtue of getting married and having kids. We've done it. Been there, done that. We have the T-shirt. Get rid of these stupid laws that privilege one segment of society called married people over the folks who aren't married. Quit it. You've already blown the top. Everyone's getting divorces. It's not like it's a big deal you're trying to wrangle in. If you really were worried about it, you'd start giving, you know, five times the benefits for people to stay married when this divorce rate started skyrocketing. If you were so worried about it. Now it's archaic. It's antique. We don't need it anymore. Extra benefits for married people. If I'm sick and dying in a hospital, just sick and scared in the hospital, I'm not married, I can't have someone come in to visit and this and that, and, you know, let's solve all of that. I mean, maybe it's already solved. Maybe the perception out there is still that it is that way. Maybe someone ought to explain to the gay people it's okay to have an important person in their life come to the hospital to see them. It's all right if they're not a legal spouse. You know, maybe it's already there, and you haven't gotten the word out that it's okay. to choose who you want to come to the hospital. I mean, if I were a married person, I swear I've been married 150 times. Well, I don't swear I've been married 150 times, but I say I'm been married 150 times. And, you know, wouldn't want any one of them at the hospital. I'm married down, you know. I would want one of my intelligent friends to come to the hospital and see me. Someone who can have a decent conversation with me in the hospital. I don't want my spouse there, not the ones I've had. Did you let the dog out? What dog? The dog we have. Oh, yeah, that dog. It wasn't quite that bad, but geez. Don't marry down, fellas.
Dressed up in the sweater and, you know, riding in the front seat.
Oh, yeah, in a pink sweater, riding in the front seat, yeah. I did marry some hot wives, so I can't say, well, the dog would have looked better in the sweater, but... copyright thieves. I'm going to tell you, there's this guy named Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry is a radio talk show host, but he's not just a talk show host who's reading off a bunch of talking points from the conservative or liberal side. This guy is talented. Phil Hendry comes out of L.A., and he lives out in the L.A. area, and he's an awesome talent. He's Rich Little. He's Tim Conway. He's not Tim Conway's son, who's also on the air in L.A., but Phil Hendry does voices. He's a ventriloquist on the radio.
How does that work?
Well, he does these voices. He doesn't need a puppet. He does these voices on the air, and it's a whole skit, and it's improvisational. And, you know, he may have some idea what he's going to do, but he can do this in a very talented way. He has these fake female voices, which most of his fans may say it sounds like a transvestite, but you use your imagination. Same way that you use your imagination for balloon animals when a clown does a balloon animal and hands it to you. That doesn't look like a dog. Well, yeah, it does. Use your imagination. Same way with
Plus, it doesn't matter if his lips are moving because he's on the radio.
That's right. And so he does it, and it sounds great, and it's hilarious. And when he's improvising and he thinks of these crazy situations for this theater of the radio, he's awesome. And you have to listen to him, folks. God, I mean, find him on the internet. Pay for his site to get, you know, learn more about him, and then not pay for it if you're disappointed by it. But get his shows online, and the internet doesn't have it all over the place because he's really trying to protect his work. He puts a lot of effort into it. You could imagine somebody that does all these voices, make sure all the audio is right. So it sounds like he has someone on the telephone, and then he's on his mic, and you know, you can tell the difference between telephone and straight talking into a mic. He does all that good stuff. A lot of effort goes into making sure the quality of his audio for all his characters are good and clear and distinctive, and he puts a lot of work into it. He's getting old. He's almost 60 years old. I hope his voice holds up for many years to come because I want him to keep doing this. I enjoy it. But there's a problem. He thinks he has really no respectable analytical ability. I'm talking about Phil Hendry, and I'm just being an observation person here. Give my opinion, okay? He has no respectable analytical ability. He's been in the radio for years. I mean, you know, it's like lifetime radio idiot, you know, who are chugging out a meager living, trying to talk on the radio. I'm single, rich, good looking. I mean, we're going to keep saying that. I don't need this gig. They're like, well, good, because, you know, you shouldn't make any money anyway. But anyway...
That's like, don't give up your day job.
Yeah, well, this guy, exactly. So I'll keep my day job. But, you know, in so many of these radio show folks are freaks, whatever. Anyway, the other ones are trying to be popular, so they dumb things down, like Hannity. You know, he can't believe everything he's saying because it's a hypocritical, all the things that he says. When you put them together, they're hypocritical. So, you know, it's the only folks going for popularity of numbers, and I think that for this Phil Hendry guy, my opinion only, he's tried to stay true to his craft, to his talent, and at times he's probably been tempted, and he tries to change the format of the show where he's doing commentary, and he can't. He's no good at it. He doesn't have the credible, you know, respectable analytical ability of a Judge Wilde. And so he's trying to switch over because he sees the money is in all these idiots just spouting their opinions on politics. So he tries to talk about things that are in the national news, and it doesn't work. Go back to the characters, do the skits. You should be a zillionaire for that. He's a one in a however many billions there are on this earth person, and for how many generations that didn't produce a guy like this, and that generation did, and he can't make billions of dollars, not billions of dollars, but, you know, millions of dollars at it. He should. He should. He's good. He's great. And but he can't make money at it. Can't make the riches that he wants. And so, I wish he could. I'm not saying he's bad, so he can't. I'm saying he's great, so he should. But it's just not there as far as the money. So he tries to do other things. And for the last hour of his show, this Phil Hendry guy, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, this Phil Hendry guy will sit there. Well, let me lead into that. Before that, in the second hour, in a lot of shows, and when you get to pay for his subscription for online, you get to hear him during commercials and before the show and all that, he's complaining, itching and groaning, and we don't cuss him.
This is a family show.
One thing that Phil Hendry does is he cusses a lot. And it's hard to share about him because then good people, go try to listen to him and want to appreciate his theater, and they can't stand all his cussing. As a person, he cusses a lot. On the air, he's a professional enough not to cuss on the air. But in all the off-the-air stuff that you get to listen to if you pay for a subscription, he's cussing up a storm. So you can't leave it on your radio in the garage or, you know, your computer to speakers in the garage so that, you know, because the neighborhood will hear this cussing coming out of your house. And so you can't share him with folks. So he has to stop that in all aspects of him, of his persona, that whether it's subscriptions or on air. Well, the deal is, this guy, he gets mad because people have appreciated his work and put it on the internet. They have audio clips of him on the internet, and he went and hunted them down, and he threatened them, and he lawyered up, and he, you know, lawyered down on them, and these people were just, I think, innocent people trying to share his great talent. Because it is awesome. It's the kind of thing you want to share with others that this guy exists and have them really enjoy what he's doing. And so he lawyers up and goes after these people, and he's serious, and he rants and raves and calls them all sorts of, you know, because he cusses, we'll just say down that line, and sort of names of the people, and he doesn't know intelligence versus lack of intelligence, but he thinks that everyone else is stupid versus me, and I know other people are dumber than I am. So he doesn't have a right to think that. I do, because it's true for me. I am smarter. But for him, he's cussing and all this stuff, and, you know, and he's going to go after these people and that people and lawsuits this, and it's stealing, and it's just wrong, and people put hard work into their shows like he puts in his. So why would he doesn't want people to steal that. He knows how much hard work he's put into it. So guess what the man does in the third hour of his show?
What?
Think of the irony of it, Nurseful. What do you think he does the third hour of his show? He steals other people's written articles.
Oh, no way.
He steals other people. This is my opinion only. My opinion only, by my definitions, and it may be different than some other definitions, but in my opinion, it's very hypocritical to take somebody else's written journal, you know, story, article, news story, just so you can aimlessly fill in a third hour of a show. When you already have enough talent to fill up 5 hours, why do you need to take an hour and use somebody else's hard work? And he starts reading the stories word for word. This is my opinion from my impression of the radio, that it sounds word for word. It sounds paragraph, sentence for sentence, and even paragraph after paragraph. That, you know, if there's something called fair use of copyrighted material, and where you can take really short snippets, very short snippets, and you can say them and say why you're going to say them and do an analysis of it and things like that, but only small little pieces, not big chunks of somebody else's work that captures their phrasing, their creativity in sentence structure, their creativity in paragraph structure, their information that they were the ones who found out the information to put in the news story, all that research, and to use chunks of it on your show where you're making money I know he claims, I don't make any money out of this darn radio job. Well, he's right. He probably isn't. He's making money, hopefully, from his website. I hope he is. But don't be telling us that you don't want people to steal your hard work. And I'm using steal more in the principle and ethics realm than I am in the legal realm. And I know I'm saying the word copyright, but this guy will throw in copyright and people are violating and people don't have respect for copyright and then they shouldn't be taking other people's hard work. So he kind of goes with the legal definition and the ethical definition as he's ranting about this. And he doesn't distinguish the two in his ranting about it. And then after the break, in the third hour, he's talking what? Word for word, other people's news stories. And he's finding them on the Internet. I mean, that's what we do these days. Talk show hosts bring up the Internet, look for stories. Just because, and he's like, well, just because something's on the Internet, no reason to steal my work. And then he's looking on the Internet for journalists' news stories that he can read chunks of on the air and then start commenting about the news story. You know, if you want to comment about guns and the Constitution, remember, I talked about that at the beginning of the show. I talked about, usually when I'm done with a page, I throw it across the room. Let's see, the marijuana.
It's over there in the pile.
It's over there in the pile. The marijuana or, you know, the gay marriage thing. Did I start reading other people's work? No. I just said, hey. Here's how I think things are going out there. This is what I think we should be thinking of, how we think we should be thinking about this. This is what, and I'm able to do commentary without taking somebody else's work. Now, I could have, using Phil Henry's definitions, I could have taken some of his audio, put it on my iPad here, shoved it in through the mixer, put it out on this show so that I could comment about him. But that would have been stealing his work. Instead, I referenced you over to the Internet, Phil, P-H-I-L, Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, so you can Google it, find his webpage, it's philhendryshow.com, and go find his material where he's making the money that when you go to his site and you click on his stuff, and then the advertiser sees that, and he builds his numbers, so he can get money from that. I sent him to where he makes the money. I send you guys where he makes the money. And that's what he should be doing. If he's going to talk about an article, you know, give credit that he got his background information from the article, give the whole address of where this stuff is, and then do not say it word for word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll say, oh, I was very careful. I said he uses chunks. Chunks is a subjective thing. I'm saying chunks. I think it's chunks. I don't think it's an entire article. I don't know. Maybe in some cases the entire article is only two paragraphs long or one short paragraph, 80 words or 120 words or something. I don't know. I'm giving you my opinion. And I want you to like the guy. But, you know, there's not a lot of right people on the radio. There are a lot of people who have worked in radio a long time. It doesn't mean they're bright people. It doesn't mean that someone can't work, like in Wichita, Kansas, or folks who have been on the radio for a long time, and the next week they're selling commercial insurance to businesses. You know, or they're out on a factory floor, or they're whatever. These aren't the brightest people in the world. They just developed a talent at a community college, and as a matter of fact, most radio people will tell you don't go to college to become a radio person. You just go do it. Like if you want to be a good welder, just go be a welder and get good at it. Doesn't mean you're smart. And that's how Drudge Report works, by the way. Drudge Report works. I'm not clicking on much on a Judge Wild or a Judge Wild on a Drudge Report site. I'm clicking on the link that takes me directly over to the news story. Judge Wild or Judge Wild. Drudge, Matt Drudge, has a page that just points you to other people's work. It's a pointer. It doesn't steal other people's work. It says, hey, if you're interested in a topic with this kind of heading, you'll click here and you'll be going to the other site where these people did the work of coming up with the story and they have advertisers on their website and they're making the money because Drudge Report sends people to them. That's how that works. some people's kids. Employers pay for college. We have 20 minutes left in the show. Valentine's Day, I really, you know, I could put that off, but I'm not because I love that subject. I love the subject of women and men and money. You put those together, and you can really complain a lot about women. I know you women. You women, you put money and men and women together, and you can really complain about men. They don't give us enough of their money. You know, that's not an argument to stand on, ladies. We want their money, and we're complaining because they're not giving us, you know. That's not how they really talk, do they? How about you, Nirvana? Do you talk like that?
No, not usually.
I can't, Phil Hendry does his female voices, and they sound like transvestites. And it's a male voice trying to sound like a female now. I can't even do that. I can't even sound close enough to a female to sound like a transvestite. Isn't it the transvestite? Does that just close, or do they also try to do the voice?
No, usually it's just the clothes. Because they can't, most of the time, they can't really do anything about their voice, you know, unless they're taking the hormones.
Well, okay, I admit it. I might be wrong on that. But whatever it is, you say transvestite, people know what you mean. Even if you're wrong.
Yeah.
I apologize. This is the first for me. I apologize to all the transvestites out there if I characterized you incorrectly about your voice. I never dreamed I'd ever be apologizing to transvestites in general or in particular. I'm having too much fun. Too much fun. 1 month to Valentine's Day. Today is... Oh, you're not supposed to give dates over the air because then it locks your show. It's when you play a best of that it's that date and it dates it makes the material old and all that. But it's 1 month to Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Use your imagination. What day in January is that? Guys don't know because they're not going to know Valentine's Day until like 3 days ahead of time.
Yeah. Until they get bombarded by all the commercials about Valentine's Day.
But I want to tell you guys. Didn't you just give that chick? I want to use some other words that I didn't. Didn't you just give that demanding chick? That starts with a B. Anyway, didn't you just give her presents? Wasn't it just a few weeks ago? Didn't you just do it? What about her birthday? There are some ladies I know. Acquaintances whose birthdays are like in November, December, January. Birthdays are when you get presents, right? You know, for sure. That's a guarantee. That's the day you get, you don't get a slap on the back and say, way to go, chick. You made it another year, you old bag. you don't do that.
If you want to be single, that's what you do.
Well, he's single, he's rich, and he's good. That's how you be rich. That's how you be rich. That's how you be rich. That's how you are rich as well. And I guess you're going to stay good looking because they're not going to hit you in the face with a frying pan. But poke your eyes out with a mascara stick.
Yeah.
So, you guys, you just gave her a present. What's this Valentine's Day? And here, you know, if you listen to the Christmas show, the Judge Wild Christmas show, the annual one, you'll find out you shouldn't even be giving gifts for Christmas. That's the birth of baby Jesus. That's not a gift-giving thing. That's giving things to Jesus, not to her. But somehow, you gave her a present for Christmas, and now Valentine's Day is coming up, and who knows when her birthday was and is. You know, the only time she wants you to remember her birthday is not so that you can count another year, put another candle on, you know, compare it to the other women her age or 20 years younger. You know, it's for, so that you get her a gift. If it wasn't for the gift aspect of birthdays, the chicks wouldn't bother you with it. And here comes Valentine's. What kind of gift do you think of for Valentine's Day? Not the chocolates, not that. What other kind of gifts do you think of, Nurse Flo?
Flowers.
Okay, not the flowers and not the chocolate.
Jewelry.
Jewelry. Holy cow, jewelry. For Valentine's Day. That's not her birthday. Do you think at Christmas you got away with giving her a vacuum cleaner or an electric fence or floor mats for her car? No, you
only
had to
if, get only if that's what she asked for.
Right. And you're supposed to get her something else. Matter of fact, she wants to still feel like a woman on Christmas. Anytime there's a gift given, they can play that card on you guys. Say, well, that just makes me do more work around the house. Or that just, you know, whatever. And, you know, that they want jewelry all the time. Every, you know, time you're supposed to give them a gift. It's like that you just did Christmas. What about newlyweds? Newlyweds. A lot of people can get married in November and December or October. That costs a boatload of money.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a cruise costs a boatload of money. No pun in, well, plenty of pun intended. You know, and so think about this, ladies. You never add it up. You spent, you know, 3 days after the time you were demanded and expected gifts, he gave you the gifts. 3 days later, you're looking toward the next time. It doesn't count. It's done with. It's over with. It was 3 days ago. You still have the stuff. He's still paying the bills for it, you know, or he paid cash, and now he has less of a bank account for it. But 3 days after that event, after Christmas, were you cuddling up to him 3 days after and just as, you know, excitedly as when you first received the gift? Are you, you know, thanking him for it and loving on him? And now he's got to prove it again in another month. What you ladies do. And so I tried to add up some of this stuff because, you know, this kind of becomes a monthly budget item for the men, right? So what if you wanted a $1,500 piece of jewelry for Christmas and you wanted a $1,000 tennis bracelet for your birthday and you wanted, you know, some earrings, some, you know, gold or silver or titanium or hopefully not wood. Wood would be good. He could carve it himself. But
there you go.
Gold and diamond earrings. You know, you want that Valentine's Day to be more than a gift. You want an expensive dinner and maybe a chariot ride, you know, with the horses and whatever. And an expensive dinner, you want all of that with the gift. That could be, you know, another $1,000. You women like that. Now, I know I'm a little high, and a lot of you ladies will go, what? I never expect, I'll be, you know, not getting anywhere close out of that, out of my man. But it's the same attitude. You want him to stretch it a bit. You want him to overextend. You want to feel special through the gift, through what you forced him to overextend. A lot. Okay, now you women who aren't like this, I know you're out there. Betty, I think there's one, and her name's Betty. But I guess it's plural, Betty and her friend Martha. Okay, and they're 101 years old, and they're twins, and they're on the... Anyway, there's very few of you out there who really are genuinely happy without gifts for these occasions, without expensive dinners, without all that. There's very few of you. So we know that if you're one of those who aren't that way, that you know 8 other people out of your closer 15 people that you know, the females, are that way. And you deal with it. You're tolerant. You're okay. They're still your friend. They're not ragging on you so bad. They're on their husband's case. So add all of that up. I mean, even what about the regular dinners? You know, about every week or so, every 10 days, you're looking for like an $80 out on the town thing at least. And I know some of the bigger towns, that's just drinks in a 2-hour period at a club. Okay, I understand that. But for the average across the country or something like that, you know, a couple of dinners and, you know, at a restaurant and the tip and stuff, you know, maybe $80, maybe $120. 3 times a month. Talk about his monthly budget. He's budgeting all these presents for all these things. A lot of these holidays, so to speak, that focus days, and that's what they are. They're supposed to be focused on the baby Jesus, supposed to be focused on family and thanking for this country on Thanksgiving. You know, July 4th, again, for the country and the celebration that we're free people and all that. You know, these are supposed to be focused on other things, and you make all of these a focus on a gift for you. That's the problem. He has to budget $250 a month, unless you say it's not $500 a month that you can get all these items. What if it's $250 a month just to keep you focused on you? Just so to prove that he is focused on you. Because you want him focused on you. And not his golfing buddies. And not his fishing buddies. And not his football watching buddies. You have, or maybe he doesn't do anything. Maybe he has hobbies, you know, remote control airplanes or, you know, putting together ship models. Ship, S-H-I-P. Pop it into my
call.
He is in Paul. And so ship models. And so he wants to do that, and it's not even, but it's not attention on you. It's not focus on you. So you make a big deal out of these focus days that they have to be focused on you and not the baby Jesus and not the this or that. You know, New Year's Eve, he better have spent money on New Year's Eve on you. He has to budget this stuff. Are you worth it? Are you worth $250 a month of a man's budget? Think of the jobs out there. Not everybody's a real, you know, rich insurance man. Most insurance guys, I think, are barely making enough money to raise, you know, three kids and have a, you know, ranch-style house and, you know, just send the kids to public school. That's most guys. They can't do this $250 a month all the time. What are they getting for it? Guys, you're not getting anything worth that. And how I'm going to tell you, ladies, how this works is how much would you pay to have a man in your life? Would you pay $300, $400 a month to have a good guy in your life? How about you? Well, Nurse Will, you'd probably say, well, I've done it. You know. Not only would I, did I. You know, and what if you women were paying for a man? If you weren't paying all these expensive gifts for all these things to take place, and you focus on them, and all these times that you spend money on them through the month, $80 a shot or $120 a shot, three times a month, just to do the maintenance of going out, acting like, well, I want to go out. I'm Bob, and I want my wife to take me out of the house. I'm tired of coming home from work and being in the house. You know, how much would you pay? If you women pay all that money for a guy, wouldn't you want him to be perfect? Nurse Flo, tell me.
Well, I don't think there's any such thing as perfect. I think perfect would get boring.
When you women aren't paying the bills, aren't paying the treats and all that stuff, when you aren't even doing $250 a month to have a man in your life, shelling it out for him, focused on him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about regular meals. That doesn't count. Anything regular, women say that doesn't count. It has to be special. So if you women are not spending $250 for special stuff, additional stuff for your guy, and he's not taking out the trash, and he's not changing the oil in your car, and he's spending time with his buddies, you know, like you ladies do. Let's do lunch, girlfriend. You know, and you do it on Saturday. You do it on Sunday. You do it on times when you should be spending with your man. What if the guys do that and you women are shelling out all that money? You complain when you're not shelling out all that money. So what if you are spending $300 special dollars a month? Are you going to, why are you getting on your guy's case when he's shelling out $300 a month to keep you in excess? To make you feel extra loved and okay loved and special? And why are you worth it? If you wouldn't pay to a guy who's not perfect and not giving all that attention to you for you to pay, be paying and have him be worth it, why would you want him to pay you all that money? And that's what it is. It's paying you because you're the one demanding it. You're the one expecting it. Think about a BMW, the top-of-the-line BMW. What can you get that? You can get that on a lease for $500 maybe. Hey, at least the guy's getting something out of that BMW. And it's top of the line. Are you the top of the line woman? Are you worth it? Are you nice and smooth like the interior of that BMW? Hey, I better watch where I go with all this. And he doesn't even own the BMW, and he thinks it's worth $500. He doesn't want to own you. He just wants you to be worth it. He's not expecting to own the woman he's spending all his money on. He just wants you to be of value to his life. You wouldn't want a man, I'm repeating again, you wouldn't want a man that you're spending all that money on and he's not of value to your life. You know, women out there, you know what they're doing, Nurse Lowell? You know what these women are like? You know what they're like. Well, sometimes I take him to dinner. Right? And yet the women aren't saying, well, sometimes he takes me to dinner, so I'm blissfully happy with him. Because sometimes, occasionally, he'll think about taking me to dinner. So I'm totally blissfully happy, cloud nine in the heavens, that this is the greatest guy in the world for me. I don't think you women think that way, do you, Nurse Flo?
I don't.
I think what you meant is the other way. Yes, you feel... Well, anyway, we'll have to listen to that again. But we all know what you mean. You treat guys right. And
I try.
These women, these ladies don't. You know, they do an occasional thing for the guy. And what about... What about advice? Women, you what kind of advice do you give men, Nurse Flo?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
So men you're dating, you know, and you have some sort of day-to-day interaction with them at your place, his place, you're going to places in the car.
Yeah.
And you're giving him advice about his place.
Giving him advice about his place?
Yeah.
Oh.
You help him. Go ahead.
Well, just to be yourself and express your own, you know, personality in your living space and be comfortable with that.
Women will help a guy pick out a couch.
If they ask.
Women will help. Oh, but not all the women are intelligent, Nurse Flo.
That's true. But I think some of that comes with getting older and getting a little bit more seasoned. I think when we're young, we think we can, you know, make a man into what we think they should be instead of who they are. You know what I mean?
Women like to give guys advice about their couches, about their rugs, about their dishes, about their car even, you know, what kind
mm-hmm.
of car you should get because she likes a certain kind of car. Women like to give guys advice about the lighting in their house. You know, they start putting candles in the bathroom vanities.
In
the bathtub. And they think,
women are more nesters. I mean, you know, they don't. There's a lot of guys that don't really care about, you know, what their place looks like. But and yes, I have given a guy advice, especially if they have the black velvet painting hanging up.
So. The guys are spending all this money, and the women are spending nothing. They're giving advice. And they think that giving advice about a couch is worth $300 a month. A special. telling him to get rid of that velvet whatever on the wall and put up you know, something she found at an art market is a value to him, and he doesn't even care. He doesn't care about the couch or the drapes or the what. He doesn't care about all the advice that she gives about what restaurant is really good and what restaurant isn't. He doesn't care. Yet you women think it's value to him, this guy, and that it explains why he spends all this money on you. And that explains why it's worth it to spend on you, and you deserve it. I deserve his money for Christmas and birthdays and my Mother's Day, even though these aren't his kids, and all this stuff. Because I give him advice on his life and which friends he should get rid of. And which, you know, and that he should have to be friends with my longtime friend that I grew up with that happens to be a guy and that I kiss on. And that he should, all this advice, according to these women, is worth this money. Okay, ladies, don't we give you advice about sometimes where to go to dinner? Don't we give you advice on where to take your car to get it fixed? Don't we give you advice about what kind of oil to put in your car? Don't we give you advice on what car would be a good car for you? Don't we give you advice about your nagging family members who take over your life and your pushy girlfriends? Don't we give you advice about your coworkers and all that stress that you go through with your family and your coworkers? We're giving you advice. And I'm telling you, ladies, it is worth $250 a month. I want your budget. I want you to budget, ladies, extra special money, hundreds of dollars a month, so that you can pay for the expensive gifts and you can keep me into the lifestyle that I deserve for the advice that I give you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And Nurse Flo, you are wonderful.
Thanks for listening to The Judge Wild Show. And be friends with Judge Wild on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Blogspot. Say goodbye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.